I'm going to talk you through using the tongue mudra or tongue pose. Here's the positioning. The back of your tongue lifted and secured behind your rear upper molars. The tip of your tongue on the roof of your mouth behind your front teeth. The center of your tongue cupped like a spoon or radar dish facing upward. So you get the contact, back of your tongue behind the upper molars, tip of your tongue, roof of the mouth behind the front teeth. You cup your tongue gradually until you feel a sensation in your nasal passage. It will be distinct. You'll also feel the place in the roof of your mouth directly above the cup of the tongue turn on or become sensitized. Breathe through your nose and feel the current of connection between the feeling of the air going in your nose and the roof of your mouth being turned on. Breathe through the place in your nasal passage that you felt awaken when you cupped your tongue enough. Just feel that for a while until you can get it. Just alternate feeling your palate and the inside of your nose until you can balance them. You can get them both turned on together. Stop the playback and do that for a while, and then turn the recording on again when you're ready. Okay, so you turned on the roof of your mouth, your palate, and you breathe in through your nasal cavity, and you felt the current of ascending sensation, some might call it energy, going up from the roof of the mouth through the nasal cavity. And suddenly you can feel the center of your nose, your septum, and you can feel how that connects in the back to the upper back of your nasal cavity. So stop playback, do that for a while, and resume playback when you're ready. Now you're ready? Good. You may have noticed that when you got it going up through your nasal septum, that it went to the floor of your brain cavity, and it might have gone to the roof of your brain cavity, and through that, a line going through your brain core in a certain location that you feel internally. So turn it off, and when you're ready, turn me on again. Okay. So now you've located your crown chakra, the top of the head, connected through the nasal cavity to the roof of the mouth to the tongue. And as you breathe in, you intensify the sensation, and you can breathe in such that it comes in your crown chakra, kind of like a dolphin's blowhole. When you breathe in it, you feel it come in through there. And when you breathe out, you feel a jet go out from the brain core through the crown chakra, a jet going up. And turn it off, and when you're ready, turn me on again. And you're ready. So you could now feel the jet going up out the top of your head. And when you breathe in, you feel a jet come in through the top of your head and bring it in through your brain core to your palate, to the center of your palate, the floor of your nasal cavity, and the roof of your mouth. So turn it off. When you're ready, turn me on again. Okay, so when you're breathing in, you can feel it coming in through the crown of your head, your brain cavity, through the nasal cavity, to the roof of the mouth, to the tongue, which is cupped. And you can feel it go along the back of your tongue and go down your throat, the front of your throat, until it reaches the place below the voice box, which is kind of tender to you. It's soft and sensitive. It's below your thyroid gland, not on the thyroid. And turn it off. Turn me on again. Good. So now you felt it go down your tongue, down the front back, the front of your throat, to that place in your throat. And now as you breathe in, you can breathe it into the heart cavity. So breathe in through the top of the head, through the brain cavity, through the nasal passage, to the top of the palate, to the tongue, to the back of the tongue, but down the front of the throat, below the voice box, to the soft place, and into the chest cavity. And you do a series of breaths just like that, going in reverse from the chest cavity to the throat, to the tongue, to the palate, to the nasal cavity, to the brain cavity, to the crown chakra as you breathe out. And you just sucking it in and blowing it out the top of your head like a whale or a dolphin. Stop the recording. Start the recording when you're ready. Okay, so now you're back and you kind of get the hint. You can keep on bringing it lower each time down to the third chakra at the solar plexus and to the whole pelvis. We don't localize the pelvis for this. We use the whole pelvis as the second chakra. And it happens that there is a kind of concentrated connection kind of where the sacrum is, actually. And also the place on your underbottom, back of the midpoint, that can kind of warm up if you bring your attention to it. It's back of the midpoint, and it goes up toward the tailbone and kind of encloses the tailbone and the lower part of the sacrum. So you just go all the way down that part, and when you exhale, there'll be another part. So stop the instruction now and resume when you're ready. Okay, so you're back. I'm going to walk you through the exhalation part, and then it's up to you to remember what you do down the front and what you do up the back. So when you've got a full breath, you clamp the floor of your pelvis tightly. And then you relax the floor of the pelvis and you exhale and bring your attention up to the sacrum and hold the breath and squeeze the floor of the pelvis. And when you're ready, you exhale some more, relaxing the floor of the pelvis. You bring your attention up to the heart and you exhale from there and squeeze the floor of the pelvis and touch the roof of your mouth with your tongue. And press up with the tongue as much as you're squeezing with the floor of your pelvis, as much as one as the other. Okay, stop the recording now and resume when you're ready. Okay, and you're back. So you've learned how to simultaneously put your feeling attention in the chakra and squeeze the floor of the pelvis while holding your breath and pressing the tongue against the roof of your mouth and equalizing the roof of your mouth, the floor of your pelvis. Stop the instruction now and come back when you're ready. And you're back. Okay, so you're getting the hint. You do it with each chakra. Now, for me to instruct you like this is going to be too long-winded for you to be able to do it at the pace I can talk it. So I just gave you a startup so that you know what to do for yourself. You just ride it up. You go to the heart chakra and the throat chakra, then to the tongue, and then the roof of the mouth and the brain core, which in the nasal cavity, and the top of the head. And that's how you do the pattern for exhalation. You know how to do inhalation. We already rehearsed that. So now that's what you do. Now the thing is you can just do the crown chakra and the brain core chakra, the sixth chakra, and do your breathing just between those two. And you can also do staged breathing where each new breath you take a deeper chakra until you're doing the whole big pump. Okay, so that's basically the technical instruction. Here's the internal instruction. The internal instruction is the sensation of the roof of the mouth turning on is you accomplish it by putting your attention there and feeling the roof of your mouth. And this is just a jump start. You imagine it starting to glow. This is just a device. It doesn't really glow. What it does is that it turns on in feeling. But you can imagine it starting to glow while keeping your attention in whatever sensation you've got of the roof of your mouth. Okay, and the undercupping of the tongue is a big deal for getting the top of the roof of the mouth to turn on. You really got to cup it right under that place that you want to turn on. It's that central little bump in the roof of your mouth that your tongue can distinguish when you run your tongue along the roof of your mouth. Do that right now, and I'll come back in a few seconds. Okay, so I'm assuming you found that little bump there. Some people may not have such a bump, but there is a most sensitive place to their tongue when they stroke the roof of their mouth with their tongue. You'll notice that the sensitivity varies according to the location on the palate. Front to back, behind the front teeth, may not have a lot of sensation. Might not be ticklish. And if you run further back, you're going to get kind of sensitive there. That's the focal point that you cup your tongue under. And by cupping your tongue and aiming it at that point, that gets it to turn on. Then you can imagine it glowing, and it will turn on faster and more. So that deals with the roof of the mouth. I'm going to have you stop now and practice out a little bit before you restart, and I bring you the next piece. Okay, and you're back. So that's fun. That's the turning on of the roof of the mouth. The nasal cavity you get by the inhalation of the breath, and feel the air pushing against your insides of the nostrils. So stop the recording and come back when you're ready. And you're back. Okay. So we've just illuminated the nasal cavity some, and you notice that you can aim the jet of air different ways, and you can flare your nostrils or close them, and by tipping your head, chin up or chin down, you can vary where the air jet goes. So to stop the recording now and come back when you're ready. All right, then. So you discovered that. Now, the thing is, you can aim that right up into the brain cavity. And if you do that, you're very likely to experience an internal readjustment of how your cranium, your head, sits on the top of your neck, with the neck being support. And you'll feel how your head sits on that. And you'll likely have a spontaneous urge to flex yourself in certain ways and have crunchings, maybe even in those upper vertebrae, as your head position changes. And this, in me, led to a transition. How do I describe it? It was just descriptively pressures set up in my head that felt like forces going through my head. And there was kind of even an achiness in the palate. And my ears, my hearing underwent a sudden dampening. And I could still hear, but it was dampened and it was sort of muffled. Since it happened to both ears simultaneously and in a space of like less than a minute, I simply attributed that to some sort of functional change going on through me, probably related to the change of head position and the distribution of intracranial pressures. So I didn't give any fuss to it. I just figured that it was going to be part of an unexpected part of the adjustment occurring. Little did I know that there was a bonus coming. And the bonus that was coming was that my right nostril completely closed up. It just closed up. And again, I thought, I wonder, am I getting a cold or something? And I immediately dismissed it because I didn't have the energy crash that I used to have when I would get colds. My energy level was just fine. And there was a shift of intracranial pressures. And I figure, it's a big deal. It's like the nodies. My right nodies were responding to the change. Nodies is one of those yogic terms. It's a subtle energy channel. And the subtle energy to which they are referring, in my perspective, is the stream of sensation. And that all experience of energy is actually an experience of sensation of some sort. So I regard it as sensation. And the sensation goes with internal changes of arousal state or activation of different functions, different behaviors, alertness in various ways. And so that goes with motor responses, and it goes with flow of internal body pressures, and my head was undergoing pressure changes, and the rest of me was undergoing these internal pressure changes as well. So I didn't give much concern to it. I just kind of sat with it. I did rinse my nose just in case. But in short order, the hearing came back, and the nostril opened up, and the intracranial pressures had subsided. Okay, so I'm describing that as a passage to you as something that you may experience. You may experience it in different ways. Another possible way is that your ribs change. You want to twist or something in your spine, chronic crunches and cracks in your thoracic, that is, rib region. That's another one. And you get wrigglings and squirmings and poppings and internal adjustments that are unpredictable but are spontaneous and seem to be pretty closely, evidently generated by the changes that we're producing in the head and how the head sits on the neck. So this is a way of getting somatic education, that is, into the cranium. And it has to do with that tongue mudra or tongue pose, the tip of the tongue, front, upper teeth, roof of the mouth, the back of the tongue secured behind the upper molars, and the security behind the upper molars being the same, not more, particularly less than, the tip of the tongue. The tip of the tongue is pretty much close to or the same as the tongue at the back behind the upper teeth. So you've got a good triangle going there. And then you've got the radar cup, which is beaming feeling attention at that found roof of the mouth location, the location you found, that delicate sensitive one, roof of the mouth that goes right to the inside of the nose, to the septum. The septum goes straight to the back of the head, to where the neck and head meet. That's where the changes are likely to occur. And that is the fabled atlas. And resting of the cranium on the top of the neck is resting of the cranium on the atlas. So it really has to do with the Atlanto-occipital junction, which has nothing to do with the ocean or a former civilization. It has to do with the topmost cup on which the head, the cranium, rests. And when we change the way the head sits because of our own internal reflexive sense of how the head wants to sit there, which, by the way, is completely unconscious in almost everybody, but as soon as you do this, it starts to wake up. So there's that, and there's also the matter of the jaws and the jaw functioning, because the cranium associates most directly with the spinal column, whereas the mandible, the lower jaw, associates mostly with the tongue and the internal channel of sensation that you feel in swallowing, and that traces the parallel of that internal, call it energy channel if you want, or nadi, that goes down the front inside of the torso, not the front outside like hair. It's the front inside, and it goes down to the floor of the pelvis. And as you do this breathing that I've described, using the tongue mudra, the tongue pose, you're going to undergo a whole bunch of resets of your equilibrium, your posture, your sense of balance, your sense of how you rest. And how you rest is another meaningless term until suddenly how you rest changes and you realize that there was a way you used to rest and now you don't rest there anymore the same way. You can go there, but it's not where you tended to go to. You kind of rested out of that. So, let me see if there's anything else I need to give you about this. Well, yeah, the final note is if you do this first and then sit in meditation, you're going to have a very different kind of meditation than you've had in the past. And the rest is ineffable. It means you cannot adequately render it in words, although you can use words as a way of capturing people's attention so you can transmit it vibrationally or intuitively to them, kind of resonate it to them. And again, that's meaningless unless you've had the experience of even what the dog knows that the master's coming home now, or the mother who knows something about her child going through, you know, her child is in trouble or something, or when you can sense your spouse or your mate is cheating you, that type of thing. And that's the field of possibility. That's the matrix. The matrix itself is without qualification. The matrix itself is just a creative medium, like clay or sound, music. It's just a creative medium, and it is the matrix. And the matrix shapes itself according to the field of intentionality and memory that a person has. Their field that we're talking about, communicating a subtle communication to a person with words, keeping their attention so you could beam the feeling at them. Okay? So just to be clear about that. The words are not actually what are communicating it. The words are just keeping your attention long enough so that we can use it as a carrier wave for a feeling transmission. So, ineffable. But you'll know for yourself the first time you do a decent session of this. When you sit, you'll notice that your sitting is altogether different. And you, who knows what you go through? You may go through a temporary period of fatigue, of achiness in your sitting, temporary. That the guess is between 24 and 36 hours. It's on that scale, okay? So if it turns out to be a few days, it's still on that scale. And I think that's all. I'm going to close it up now, and you're on your own.